Okay, that was fantastic. I was really pleased just to see more of some of the themes you covered. I just want to kick off with a question about Schutte's title, Fake Function. I just think that's quite an intriguing relationship with two entities that I don't think is that common, and all being obvious bedfellows. And it made me think a little bit about fakery and what a rich space that is. It just seems to sit apart from something that's happening culturally, and I think within art as well. The arts seems to be a kind of, for me, a search for authenticity of different forms, taking different paths there. And to be, I don't know if it's provocative, but that search for authenticity made me think, what is that? And it's interesting you showed ceramics pottery in that really rich collaboration film. And then it made me think of ruins. Is that a misinterpretation of authenticity? Because it's not really the folly. But also function, because that's a really rich space as well. And is that, and is there some kind of crisis today of artists trying to find some kind of authenticity, some in searching for function in their work? I don't know if that's a question, but it's a train of thought.
Well, as I was saying at the beginning, this kind of useological turn, I think, is part of that crisis. I think there's a sense that there's no time for mucking about with art that is interested in sort of, I suppose this search for authenticity is about trying to find something that is useful in some way. Like, I think that's related. I think this idea of fakery and artifice and folly are all things that, in times of austerity, in times of global crisis, you know, there isn't any space for, there isn't a need for it. And I think there's a danger there as well. I don't know if I'm answering your question, but I think artists are under pressure to find function. For that reason, I think there's this increase, and what that actually means, I don't think we know what that means. And I think there's a bit of a baby being thrown out with the bathwater in terms of the materiality of the object, for example, the impact that a work of art, as in an object or a space or something experiential created by an artist or a curator, has on the viewer. Yeah, that it's not always about passive spectatorship or a hierarchy in which artists and curators tell visitors to a gallery what to think. You know, there is an interaction and a conversation there, and the artwork is the catalyst for that. So if you sort of take that out of the equation, then I'm not convinced in all cases that there's enough going on that we could call art. And that's maybe a bit controversial, and if anybody was here that, you know, wanted to challenge me on that, I'm open to it. But this idea of kind of this idea of art being artifice is kind of presenting a problem at this point in history, and has done before, but I think this is a particular kind of crisis in an age where materiality itself is being questioned, and maybe rightfully so. I think of like Michael Landy's work and, you know, trying to really question objectness as the basis for art production. I think that's a valid question to be asking. So I don't think that the answer is to start producing loads of material art as a counter response, but I think we should start questioning these what we mean by fake and function and, you know, usefulness even, or the useological term. I think these are really careless terms in a lot of ways. We have to be careful.
Okay. Oh, we've got a question here.
Yeah.
Do you want? Let's give you this. Okay.
I'm just wondering about this idea of what usefulness is. I was thinking about the early history of follies, like the kind of 18th century follies that actually did have, they kind of masqueraded as being useless, but they did have a purpose, as using neoclassical iconography in order to proper, they're all about empire, naval expansion, British identity, but they pass themselves off as something They possibly masquerade as exists. And I was just wondering if there was something in that kind of double bluff about, I don't know, if that kind of trickery could be useful to us now in making, trying to make art out of making art that is useful but is not useful. That's a really confused question.
Well, I think part of the... Are you finished, Emma? I think part of the problem is a lack of vocabulary. You just end up going back to sort of these terms that are sort of useful, purposeful, useless, purposeless. You know, there's not enough vocabulary to kind of... I know what you mean. Like, I'm struggling to kind of fully articulate what I think the problem is, even after having thought about it quite a lot. And your point about early follies is a good one because... Of course, there were agendas built into these structures. You know, these wealthy patrons were either trying to express their power or their intellect or their, you know, kind of internationalism or cosmopolitanism, their knowledge of, you know, evidence that they'd gone on the grand tour and visited all of these sites that one must see as a young man getting his education, and also saying something perhaps more profound. Certainly in the case of artificial ruins about the kind of fall of civilizations and the inevitable decline of all civilizations and humanity and being retaken by the earth. And there's a lot of romance and dystopian fear caught up in the ruin as well. So there's a lot of stuff going on in those things. And I think as for the double bluff, I think... as much as they, yeah, I think you're right, this idea that they appear on the landscape, usually from a window of a country house or an estate, as a kind of, you know, a playful addition, something that balances out the landscape perhaps, but also holds within it all of these kind of coded meanings that could be read by people of that time, certainly educated people, but maybe, well, you'd have to be to see it, because most of them are on these kind of private estates, but yeah, they have a language, they have a purpose beyond just being in the landscape, I suppose. I think certainly in terms of the architectural language that they're speaking, they're pointing to a longer tradition, they're pointing to empire, they're pointing to power in different periods. But can artists take something from that? Yeah, like that is kind of what I'm saying, I think. I think that there is a kind of initial reaction and then an understanding of what these things are. And I think that by operating in that way, in the same way that I think a lot of these works that I've been talking about either shock or make you laugh or you think you know what they mean, but then they mean something else, that slippage in meaning is strategic. It's something that I think art does really well when it's good, whatever that means. But if you, yeah? So I think... I think yes is the answer.
Okay. Are you any more questions? Oh, we've got one there. Do you want to?
There are a couple of things that sort of came to my mind when you were talking about usefulness. And one is that there's an assumption that usefulness, that there's a relationship between intention and outcome. Because if you're going to say something's going to be useful, you've got to know that the outcome's likely to be predictable from the intention of the work.
Yeah.
The other thing that I was wondering about was about relationships. You didn't say anything about the relationship of those who fund the arts.
Fund.
Where the money comes from for arts. And I mean, one of the things you mentioned, Ai Weiwei, and I went around to the exhibition, and one of the things that came to my mind was who's paid for Ai Weiwei? Where's that money come from? What's the agenda? What is the usefulness of Ai Weiwei's exhibition? And it feels to me like there's a huge political agenda in funding his artwork.
Okay, so there's two questions, yeah? Intention and outcome. Yes, okay, so this kind of useological term, to go back to that, maybe that relates to your second question as well. The idea that you're going to set out as an artist or a curator to... produce a piece of work or a series of works or whatever, intervention platform, you're going to open a platform up so that something comes out of it. So a lot of artists that are working in a relational way, I'm saying all these things with a grain of salt because I think they're used wrongly, interchangeably, but I think by relational I just mean that artists are approaching people to be involved in an artwork, and they may have greater or lesser levels of agency within that artwork, but there are people doing things. A lot of artists that work that way aren't Hirschhorn among them, there's others that are really careful about saying, this is what I want to happen, this is how I imagine people will react, or this is the community that I want to see built at the end, or whatever. And then there's other artists who, like, you know, Assemble, who've just been nominated for the Turner this year, who are an architectural collaborative.
They're kind of they're a bit of a mix of people. Yeah. There's not actually an architect amongst them, apparently.
Right. So they work
architects get really annoyed by that.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm thinking about this a lot at the moment. It's a really good question because they're working in a way that at the end of it, they're funded to work with communities, to rebuild areas of cities, run-down areas generally. They've been in Glasgow recently working with a community there, but it's been a bit hands-off, and people are really questioning how much they're just going in there as Turner Prize nominees and sort of doing their thing and making things look slick and arty without actually working with the people who live there. So there's this pressure in those sorts of projects to produce something, to change, to regenerate, to make an area better, to improve people's lives. How all this is captured and quantified and qualified at the end is something that, you know, falls under the realm of like social work or some socially funded projects. It's the same vocabulary, it's the same idea of like having outcomes, having impact and measuring them. And I think that's one of the dangers of moving too far into this usological territory and not looking back, is that there is this sort of push to project what's going to happen at the end, and that they be positive, these outcomes. Yeah, nobody's projecting that they're going to ruin people's lives, or and if you look at Santiago Sierra, for example, who's, you know, taking people off the street and offering them a shot of heroin's worth of pay so that he can tattoo a line onto their back, it's kind of the other side of that. Yeah, like he knows he's projecting an outcome, but doesn't have this happy kind of ending that everybody wants to fund. So I think that's a really good point you raise, this idea that is it still in the realm of art when you have an intention that you want to see through as an artist that involves particularly working with people, or is it just a social project, which maybe can be the same thing, I don't know. But that changes it, because I think with art, like I think the pottery piece is waiting and seeing what happens between those people. There's an element of experiment that passes the agency over to that group of people. I'm more suspicious of works that, kind of have an artist that have an idea of what they want to see happen, especially when it involves people. But that doesn't mean it's not art. But I think we have to be really careful that we're not sort of creating a culture where the only artists that get funded are the ones who are projecting outcomes and then measuring them and saying, see, I did this. And another really useful example is ArtGene in Cumbria. And I need to speak to somebody there because I know their Arts Council funding got cut, but their kind of proposition is that artists should work with city developers and urban planners and like social workers to develop the area that they live in. So like almost in a sort of professionalizing sense, so that the artist can play this social role and should be paid and should be supported in that role. So they have it's interesting that a lot of this happens in Cumbria. I don't know why, but in these like little places where that are really hard to get to. Mm. But there's a lot of thinking and debate around what would it mean for the role of the artist to shift into a socially useful place in society. I don't know what any artists think about that.
Okay, for time reasons, I think we can take one more quick question.
I found your talk really interesting, quite problematic in places as well, but it made me think a lot about kind of installation works, particularly kind of the surrounding spectator. Mm-hmm. kind of installations and the kind of the high degree of kind of falsity or deceit that could be sort of kind of going on with those kind of things. But also I was thinking about the gallery and the kind of the function of that and kind of the, its functioning as a frame really, which kind of moves, even though I was thinking about perhaps something like Kabakov's The Man Who Flew Into Space.
Say that again?
Ilya Kabakov's The Man Who Flew Into Space is kind of a flat within the gallery space, but it's quite a false work. Yet it's nonetheless a real thing, if, you know, because it's framed as an artwork.
Yeah.
And I just wondered how you thought that this differs to something like a facade within a shopping centre, which claims to be something that it's not in that context.
Yeah, so you're asking, I think you're asking that what is the role of the gallery if the so does the gallery become part of that falseness by implication?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's what I'm asking. I'm not entirely certain myself.
Well, not to take it back to this useful art thing, but I feel like there's a real problem. Like there's the problem of the gallery. Like how can we think about the gallery as acting in an authentic way, in a traditional way, and at the same time see it as being this kind of, sorry, how can we see it as operating as a kind of traditional space for the showing and reception of art, and also start thinking of it as an authentic space for social change? Yeah, like that's how it's being reconsidered at the moment, I suppose.
I might have to stop you there.
I've been kicked out. I didn't get to answer the question.
I know. Well, we can. I was going to end by saying we're going to go to the tap for a drink, so you can take those questions to the tap.
I also didn't answer your question about Ai Weiwei. I don't have all the answers.
Apologies, we ran over a little bit. I'm conscious another group need to come in now, so we can speedily leave the room. I'll just end by thanking Lara.
That's all right.